Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mac, and you're listening to Mac's Musings. My guest tonight is CJ Bambino, the professional wrestler. And hopefully we won't wait long.
Hello.
Hello, CJ.
Hello. Hello,
hi, this is
you?
Mac. How are you? Oh, I'm good.
Mac?
Thank you. How are you doing?
Great.
Oh, good. How's the weather over there in your neck of New York?
Long Island is pretty dreary. It's been raining for the past 2 days.
Yeah, about the same here in my neck of Ohio. So I can empathize with that. So why don't you tell our listeners about growing up in the Bronx and did you wrestle a lot as a kid on a school wrestling team, things like that?
Well, I was born on Long Island, and my family moved around a lot, so I've lived all over Long Island and in the Bronx and in Queens, but I didn't necessarily grow up in the Bronx. I was just there all the time. So as a kid, I grew up, I was hanging out with different family members. I would stay in Long Beach, New York also. So I've been all over the place. But I grew up in high school. I wrestled for Ice Lip Wrestling as an amateur all the way up until almost college.
But you didn't wrestle in college?
No, I blew out my knee. I was going to go to the Naval Academy to wrestle, and I blew out my knee.
Oh.
So it kind of screwed up everything for me.
Gotten better because you did become a professional wrestler. When did you decide to do that, to make it a career for yourself?
It was always something I wanted to do since I was a kid, and I started originally training when I was in ninth grade. So I was 14 going on 15, and I found a school called the New York Wrestling Connection, NYWC, one of the places that I wrestle now. And I started training there, and then I started out on the lowest level possible before even getting in a ring. We were, me and another younger guy that was the same age as me, we were the bellboy and the timekeeper. And I didn't actually go pro, though, until 2009. When I was in high school, I tore ligaments in my foot that had me stop from doing professional wrestling training because I was doing amateur wrestling and that at the same time. After school, I would go Tuesdays and Thursdays to go train at the Deer Park Community Center, which was where we originally trained before they got the building now, known as the NYWC Sportatorium, also in Deer Park, and we would also train on Sundays. So I tore ligaments in my foot. That stopped me from training, and then by the time I was a senior in high school, I was dabbling in trying to go back. I didn't know if I wanted to go back to NYWC at the time, and a girlfriend of mine was like, listen, there's got to be other schools on Long Island that you could go to train, and why don't you do that? So I went and I found another school that a friend of mine had suggested because his brother-in-law was one of the trainers there, which was called Pro Wrestling Revolution. They wrestled out of Dix Hills, New York, which is close to Deer Park, New York, out of the Upper Room Christian Church. I trained there for a year under Johnny Ova and Mike Magnum, and I graduated there, and I went pro in 2009.
Cool. And do you go out on the road a lot, or do you mainly stay in New York?
I have gone on the road a lot. Actually, that's how I met David, who is a mutual friend of yours and mine. I actually was out of wrestling from 2016 until 2020. The pandemic lit a fire under me to come back because I had a bunch of injuries that weren't healed, and life was just crazy for me all those years. So I stepped away from the business, and I came back to wrestling, and one of the places that gave me a shot to start getting back on the road and doing stuff on the independents was Asylum Pro Wrestling in Pennsylvania, and that's how I met David. But I am regularly New York-based right now, because I just had my son recently was born in my first son was born in January, this past January.
Aww.
And I try and be as home as much as possible. NYWC is literally right down the road from me, so I wrestle for them. I wrestle for Suffolk Wrestling Alliance. I'm going to be wrestling for New Evolution Wrestling, which is based out of New York and in New Jersey. And I will also be wrestling for Full Faith Wrestling, which is also based in New York, but also going to be having a spot in Connecticut as well. So I'll be back on the road more so. But in the past, I was all up and down the East Coast.
Yeah, that's cool. Well,
yeah.
Tell us about what it's like being a father. I mean, congratulations on your son.
Thank you so much. He's the light of my life, man. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would be a dad. It's something I've always wanted. It's awesome. It definitely changed me as a person, like, right away. When you're responsible for a life, I think that it changes you drastically. And, like, the dad instincts mm-hmm. kicked on right away. Every chance I get, because I work a lot, like, regular jobs, aside from I do make some money wrestling. Obviously, it doesn't pay the bills right now. Hopefully, one day it does. But any chance I get, my minutes are dedicated to him and my family. You know what I'm saying? Chance I get and trying to play, getting him to laugh and smile. I'm sure you've seen the pictures on Facebook. He's great.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing like the laugh of a baby. It is so infectious.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't help but laugh. I mean, when you see a little baby laughing, anybody that doesn't laugh when they see a baby laughing, I think there's something wrong with them.
Oh, of course. You know, when they're smiling and looking at you and they're studying you and they think that it's funny, just, you know, your mannerisms get them to, like, perk up, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, and you never know what they find amusing. Just like with animals, you never know what's going to interest them either. But I saw one. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I said of course. I was agreeing with you.
Okay. Yeah, there's a little layover sometimes, so I can't exactly tell sometimes if somebody's talking or not. But I saw this video, and it was just so funny. I mean, I was, like, laughing so hard that I started coughing. It was I believe it was in Korea, and the mother and father, they got the baby to laugh, and the way that they did it was they counted money, you know, paper money. And
great.
For some reason, the baby thought that was hilarious.
That
every
so
time
funny, yeah.
Every time the daddy laid down a dollar bill, the baby just busted out laughing. I was laughing so hard that I was almost crying. It was great.
Those are great. Stuff like that is so wholesome.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's amazing. The different things in life can, the smallest thing can bring a smile to your face. And definitely stuff like that is great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's not like a child, but I had this cat once, well, all my life. But this particular one, he liked to chase his shadow. And he knew that it was his shadow. He wasn't stupid because we would have to turn the light on to make the shadow up against the one wall because he really only liked it on the one wall. And then he would, like, prance around, and then he'd start attacking his shadow tail. And he would start going crazy on it, like he was actually fighting another cat. And it was hilarious.
That's funny.
But if there was no shadow, he didn't do that.
Yeah. That's funny. Some animals, like, I have two pit bulls, and my one pit bull for us, he's going to be 11. When I first got him, he had to have been 3, almost going on 4. And his favorite thing to do, whenever someone was sitting at the kitchen table, he would push one of the chairs out and climb up and sit on the, and then like look at you. So he thought like he was a part of like whatever conversation or if you were eating, and he would just sit there and look at you. It was very funny. He grew out of it. He grew out of it, but it was so funny when we first got him. Amazing.
Yeah, I love animals. Actually, I like all animals. But, you know, cats and dogs are two of my favorites, of course. One cat I had that just died a few years ago in 19, he, up until his death, practically, like maybe just a couple of days before his death, he would chase his tail. And it wasn't like just, oh, go a couple of rounds. No, he was very intent on catching that tail, and he would be flopping around on the floor trying to catch a tail, and sometimes he'd catch it, you know, and then he'd be biting his own tail, and but he'd be thumping around making all kinds of noise in the middle of the night because he was chasing his tail.
Always love entertaining the
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, they know that they're entertaining, and it's actually pretty fun watching them when they do that crazy stuff.
Of course.
But getting back to your son, when he's old enough, and I'm assuming the answer is yes, but are you planning on taking him with you to any of your bouts?
I want that to really be up to him. I know my wife isn't going to want it to happen, but I don't know if he takes after me and wants to get involved in it. I'll make sure I steer him in the right direction. I do want him to see me wrestle until when he's old enough, like 5 or 6, to actually understand what's going on. If I haven't done anything by that point, like to where I'm signed or, you know, doing something regularly with companies that I could be making some money, that might be around the time I'll give it like one last go. Something happens, cool. If not, then I'll retire and I could say I lived my dream for, you know, close to 15, it would probably be close to 15 years at that point, because I've been around the business for close to 10. And, you know, he'd be more than welcome once he's old enough to go train, and I'd help him as much as I can, and just would want him to be way better than me.
Well, you could. I mean, I've watched a couple of your, because they're, you know, on the internet. So
yes,
as part of my research, I did watch a couple of bouts, and I don't consider a loss as somebody isn't good. I mean, you know, somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. And but you're pretty good because I watched you. So.
Thank you.
I may not be like, I may not be like the biggest aficionado of wrestling. I do enjoy it, and I've known a few professional wrestlers in my life, and during my life, I've known non-professional wrestlers, like in school and things like that. So I've been around wrestling, and I understand it and the little ins and outs of it, and I actually enjoy it. So I don't care what anybody says about wrestling. I love wrestling.
That's awesome. I wish that there were more people out there that tried to understand it more. I know that there's a lot of people that are like, oh, it's weird, or like it's just like any business is weird. You know what I'm saying? Like the movie industry is weird. You know, so there's so much time and preparation that go into what we do, and it's not so much on the physical aspect, as you know, aside from that and the training, it's the mental aspect and the preparation. For everybody prepares differently for what they're going to do in and out of the ring, and that goes for any profession. So you know,
exactly.
I'm not saying that I'm not good. You know, I think I'm all right, but I would, if a company like WWE or, you know, ROH, Impact, AEW was to call me and give me a TV match, I would consider my independent wrestling career more than a success. But if I don't do anything like that in the near future, then it is what it is. I could say I lived my dream, like I said.
Oh, and I understood what you were talking about when you said you wanted your son to be better than you. I actually knew that you didn't mean that you thought you were no good. It's like anything for your child. You always wish better for your children than what you have, always.
But yeah, and I would want him to even, in every aspect, to be a better human being than me. You know, a better human being than my wife. A better human being than the people that are around him. Hopefully he learns different aspects of, like, you know, he how should I say it? He takes on different traits from everyone in his life to make him a better person.
Yeah, and you and your wife are going to be the biggest ones for that, to give him the little things that he needs to be that better person. So even if he ends up being a better person than you, he only got that way because of you, which is something to be proud of.
Definitely, without question. He's, like I said, the light of my life and going to be the light of my life for a very, very, very long time.
Oh, yeah, they will. I've got a boy and a girl. Well, he's not a boy and she's not a girl anymore. They're grown. But I have a grown son and a grown daughter, and I have 5 grandkids, and I have 3 great-grandkids. So, they just love me, my grandkids.
That's awesome.
And I love them. I mean, like, they're the light of my life now even more than my kids. I still love my kids, don't get me wrong. But when you get old enough, you'll understand there's just something about being a grandparent, that, because for one thing, when you're a parent, I mean, you do spoil your kids a little bit, always. You just don't let them know that you're spoiling them. But when you're a grandparent, you get to spoil those kids. And then what are your kids going to do about it? Not much, except maybe say, don't let them do that. And then you say, okay, and then you let them do it anyway.
Exactly. I see it with my wife's parents. My in-laws are absolutely tremendous with our son. And you can see they are just like, any time they walk through the door, as soon as they see him, they light up. And they just, it's awesome to see.
Yeah, my first great-granddaughter, she was just beautiful. And, of course, I think all children are beautiful, but when they're your own or from the loins of your own, there's just something, of course, more beautiful because they're part of you. But she's just so beautiful and so cute, and she has these little idiosyncrasies in her personality that just make you want to, pick her up and squeeze her and kiss her and everything, because she's so sweet and kind.
That's great.
At such a young age, she started that way. So, yeah, hopefully you've got that to look forward to with your son, that he'll be really great. And yeah. So let me move on, not wanting to really move away from your son, but we've got some time left, so we might as well talk about more of your career. Because you mentioned the SWA previously, but you won a title, the SWA Pride Champion, and you held that for 274 days. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, wow. That was 2013, I believe I won that. And I was the first ever champion for that company. Beforehand, before they went legit with everything, they were a pre-show for another company called Fight the World Wrestling that's no longer around. And I had met the promoter, and he was telling me, I'm getting my own build, we're going to be renting out of the NYWC Sportatorium. We're going to be partnering with them. He was like, I really, really need someone I can trust to be my champion. So I was like, okay. I didn't know what he was getting at. I was like, if it's going to be me, cool, because I was involved in that tournament for the SWA Pride Heavyweight Championship. So he said, it's going to be you and Christopher Caden in the finals. I'm going to tell you who's going to win a week out. So I'm like, okay? So once we got to the building, he let us on for the whole week. And once we got to the building, I obviously found out I was winning. And it was more than an honor. Me and Chris Caden had an amazing match. Chris Caden's actually one of my favorite opponents. Love wrestling against him, with him in tag matches. I've been up and down the roads with Chris. I've known Chris an extremely long time. So it was an honor to be in there with him, with the resume that he has and the people that he's wrestled. And it was just an overall great experience. And being the champion of that organization for all those days meant a lot to me. Back then, I was more of a good guy. Now I'm a bad guy. We call in the business a baby face. I'm a heel now, which is a bad guy. And,
yeah.
It was awesome. And I love that company. And until the day that I'm done, I will always go out of my way to give my best at those shows.
Oh. Yeah, that's a great story, and thank you for sharing that with us. And speaking of one of your favorite people that you were just talking about him, who is someone that you would like to square off with in the ring that you haven't before?
Ooh.
If you have somebody.
There's a long list. There's a long list, but I don't know if you've ever heard of the wrestler Homicide. He's from New York.
Oh, yeah, I have.
Yes, he's in the National Wrestling Alliance now, and he was one of their lightweight champions. I feel he's one of the most underrated wrestlers out there. I feel he was one of those guys that should have been signed years ago. And not only because, like, he was in Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling, but I feel he was leaps and bounds better than most of the guys on those rosters. Like, he should have been in a WWE, in my eyes. I know he's getting older, but he would definitely be someone that I would want to square off with. And the other person I would say, without question, would be Chris Jericho in AEW.
Mm, yeah,
I think that would be a dream for me to wrestle either one of those guys.
Yeah, and those would be some interesting fights, I think.
Oh yeah, I would make it interesting too, because I got a big mouth. I like to talk. I love the art of the promo. I feel I could sell anybody to want to see me kick some ass or get my ass kicked. So I think I'm pretty good at that. And then I would throw everything I got at him to have the best match possible. So it would be fingers crossed to get in the ring with either one of those two before they both retire.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool. And then that would be something that you can tell your son about, that you got to wrestle them. That would just be so cool.
Yeah, that would be, because if there's one thing in my life that has always been there, that has been like through thick and thin, it's been the wrestling business. You know, I grew up in a small town on Long Island, and I wasn't always, you know, well liked. People picked on me because I was a wrestling fan and a little chubby, and then I started getting in better shape over the years, and then I got into the business, and people were like, oh, wow, you know, people have actually come up to me and apologized. They're like, wow, I used to pick on you, and now you're doing this, and, you know, water under the bridge with those types of situations, but wrestling has always been there for me. It was always my escape from the real world and the things that were going on. So, you know, for me to be able to do what I do, you know, I love it so much, and it is an art, and it is a passion, and I feel like when I go out there and I do what I have to do, it's more than just a match to me. It's my life. I love it more than anything. And I couldn't imagine my life without the professional wrestling business, even if I was just a fan and never got involved. That's how much it means to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can see that. in the bouts that I watch and the things that I've seen about you on the internet, and just from how you're talking, I can tell how much it means to you. It's very important to you, and that's great. I think it's great. I love wrestlers like that, other than the ones that when you hear them talking, it's like they're only doing it for the money.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's okay because if you're good at it and you make money at it, that's okay. But I would rather see somebody who really enjoys it, just like acting.
Yeah.
Like what you were saying before, how you can put it into other vocations, whatever you're talking about, you can put it into other vocations. And acting, you can tell the difference between somebody who loves acting and somebody who's just doing it for the paycheck.
Yes. And I feel like with a lot of, because I feel my promos are probably far surpassed my wrestling. Like I feel I'm a decent wrestler. I have a lot more to learn. I still train all the time. I'm going back to NYWC to train there full time, actually starting in May, since, you know, I took some time off with my son, you know, to help my wife with my son and whatnot. So back to training, 110%. And the art of the promo, like selling what, you know, if people can't tell by your facial expressions, your mannerisms, the look in your eyes, your cadence and how you speak, if they don't believe it, if you don't believe in yourself, they're not going to believe it, the people, anyone watching at home, anyone watching at a show. One of my favorite things to do is to do a promo live because I never know what I'm going to say. And it's somehow it always turns out like, I guess how I want it. I've been lucky to do that, like just grab a live microphone and just let it riff for, you know, whatever, if it's a feud, a one-time thing, if I want to get, I love getting the fans involved for like the fans to be like, oh, I hate this guy. You know what I'm saying? I really want to see this guy get his ass kicked. Yeah. It's my favorite thing. And when I could get even the simplest reaction, like it was wild. I cut a promo about a guy's wife that I was going to be wrestling, and a fan in our match the following month punched me in my face. this was in 2021, and the fan was like so invested in like what was going on that he really thought that he was gonna like help the guy that I was wrestling. Like I didn't like it at first, but like for me to garner that emotion that this guy really thought I was being like that, I was like legitimately my character and doing what I needed to do, says a lot.
Oh, it most definitely does. And I've had talks with people about wrestling because, like I said, I am a fan. But some of the people that I talk with, they don't like wrestling for one reason or the other, and that's fine. Everybody's got their own thing. But the thing that gets me is when they say it's fake, and I say, well, in what way? I said, acting is fake, but you seem to enjoy watching movies. That's all fake. And
yeah,
even if you think it's, and I would tell these people, even if you think it's fake, which is, that's your prerogative to think that it's fake, but even if you think that, you have to realize that those wrestlers know what they're doing. They have to know what they're doing so that they don't get hurt when they're doing it.
Yeah, and sometimes, more often than not, some people that have dangerous styles, like, especially like, let's say the Lucha Libre style in Mexico, a high flying style. A lot of that is not easy to do. The flipping and the maneuvers of how to rotate for certain moves. There's guys that are getting hurt doing moves, but just know how to take a lesser of the punishment doing those maneuvers. That's a style mm-hmm. that not many people can do into their late 30s, early 40s. There's very few wrestlers that have been able to wrestle at that level and like the fast pace for that long. Some people have to switch up their styles as they get older. Hulk mm-hmm. Hogan didn't always wrestle the way that he did. You know, when he became more of a showman towards the end of his career. You know, it's it's interesting the different styles that people have, but everyone, like I said, prepares differently. Everyone has different physical attributes. Everyone can, there's certain people like a Mick Foley that could take massive amounts of punishment and keep going. There's a lot of guys that are signed now, especially nowadays, that are at it, doing it 365 days a year, no matter what. That is insanity. Mm-hmm. That is more than professional football. That's more than professional baseball or any professional sport in general. Professional wrestling is by far the hardest thing to keep up with on a 365 basis. Even MMA fighters and even like small level guys that I dabble in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. My brother is a black belt at one of the academies on Long Island called Maxim Jiu-Jitsu. And that's where I train. And I've had MMA fighters tell me that they thought about getting involved in professional wrestling and thought it was too demanding, that they would rather do MMA than take punishment in a pro wrestling ring 365.
I can understand that.
Yeah. And not to say that like a guy like me is wrestling 365 days a year. I'm not. You know, I wrestle pretty much every weekend. You know, like I said, I took some time off and I was taking matches here and there. Now I'm stepping right back into it full force. But WWE is 365 days a year. TNA, for the most part, Impact Wrestling is 365 days a year. AEW, 365 days a year. Ring of Honor, more than likely, 365 days a year. If you want a contract, you've got to be out there constantly doing it. Otherwise, you know, if you're not out there getting exposure, A, and B, getting those reps, who's going to know who you are? That's another aspect of it a lot of people don't see, having to push yourself. If you can't fill a small auditorium, like, you know, or a high school to wrestle at, either whether you sell tickets or you have enough fans to where people are like, oh, I want to go see that guy. If you can't fill anything locally, who are you going to get nationally, you know, or you know, just in the U.S. alone to know who you are? Selling yourself is a whole other part of that game, too. MMA fighters don't have to do that for the most part. You know, professional athletes for the most part don't have to do that.
Right.
You know,
right.
The game
it's
is
like...
especially, I'm sorry to cut you off, especially with how technology has changed and the world of like Facebook and Instagram and all these other apps that people are involved in. There's so many ways to connect with fans, and you really have to sell yourself, especially as an independent athlete.
The great thing about the newer age with the internet and Facebook and all the other little social media places is that you have a lot to network with.
Yes. As to where back in the day was really – you were on a hope and a prayer if someone gave you a card with their number or their email, because that was like the big thing in the 90s up until, you know, like YouTube started coming out and all that stuff. Networking through different people is huge, especially in my business and in any business. There's people on Wall Street that network, you know what I'm saying, that they wouldn't be where they are. Like, the, you know, perfect example, and maybe a dumb one, The Wolf of Wall Street. You ever seen that movie? If that guy didn't network with all those people, build that company, he wouldn't have gotten where he got. Plain and simple.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, I have lots of friends in the movie business, but I have a particular friend in the movie business, and I'm just going to go ahead and say his name because I don't think he would care. His name is Jason Delzell. And
okay.
His big thing is networking, 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 because he says you can't get anywhere without networking. And so he sends people to me to come on the show. And he always asks me if I will, but and of course I will, because I'll have just about anybody on my show. I don't care what profession you are. I had to list my show somewhere So I listed it in movies simply because most of the guests that I have to do with movies or TV shows. But I've had, but I've had people like you, and I've had congressmen, not congressmen, a city councilman. Interestingly, he was one of my most listened to episodes, was the city councilman. And I forget what city or anything, but it's somewhere in New York. And he's very, very popular, but yet at the same time, he's not popular with the other people in the government.
Yes.
But one of the main reasons that he's not popular with the other people in the government is because he's bringing it out about the homeless problem. And he actually goes out there and talks with the homeless people, and he takes videos of them and everything. And because of what he does, people have gotten help, to where there was this one particular woman, and I won't say her name because I don't have authority to do that. But he had talked about her on his little podcast show that he does. And so I mentioned her, and I had him tell the people about her. And then he gave an update on her. She was able to get into housing, and now she's doing better. But she was doing so bad. She was living out of her car at Walmart. But the nice thing about it is that Walmart knew it and was letting her do it.
Wow.
Which they, they
don't
have to.
That's a story that hits home for me. Because, I didn't listen to the story. I'm just listening to it now, like you telling it. Obviously, I didn't get a chance to listen to that episode. But that hits home for me because I was homeless at one point in my life. So that hits home for me.
And a lot of people have, and I'm one that has, and it's not just, you don't have to have experienced something to have empathy for somebody, but it does help. There are certain things that I can't have. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, everyone has a, you know, there could be similar things that happen in people's lives, but, you know, you can never really know what someone's going through unless you walk the day in their life, in their shoes. So I completely understand what you're talking about. Everyone's journey is different, 110%.
Well, yeah, and not everybody reacts to things and takes them to heart or doesn't take them to heart the same way or for the same things. Because some people, and I'm only bringing this up, and I won't spend too much time on it, but I'm only bringing it up because of what we're talking about. I had someone on the show who wrote a book, and excuse me, and the book was about how she grew up and being abused, sexually abused as a child. That's, I mean, there's other stuff in the book, of course, but that's how the book starts. She was sexually abused for as long as she remembers. She decided not to let that influence her entire life. Yes, it happened to her, but she chooses to take it and show to other people that, look, yes, this may happen to you, but there are things that you can do to help yourself. Don't worry about other people and what they think, because when she wrote the book, her family members didn't like it. Of course not, because she was putting it out there for the whole world to see that there was quote-unquote funny business going on in her family. So, of course, they're not going to like that.
Of course not.
And that's just too bad.
Anything that helps you feel in any way.
Go ahead.
You know, I was going to say, anything that helps someone heal in any way, that probably helped her get through that traumatic experience by voicing what happened to her. You know, not many people have the courage to stand up and say those things and to put it out there for essentially the world to see that she's got moxie.
Oh, she does. I mean, And if you're interested in Rita, I'm pretty sure she wouldn't mind. But you can look it up, because I don't want to say her name, but I don't think she would mind me saying the name of the book. It's called Invisible Monster. And as you can imagine, the monster is the person that was doing the sexual abuse.
Yes.
And that's the name of it. And her tagline for the book, I have to be careful what I say because it's a PG-13 show, but the bad F word, F that monster. That's her tagline for the book. And it's a great book if you want to read it, or maybe your wife wants to read it. Yes, it's about that, but it also tells about all the other things in her life, too, when she gets married and she has kids, and now she's a photographer, and she's a model, and she's got all of these other things going on with her, for her, and including being a published author. It's, like,
that's
amazing
that
she didn't
huge
like,
way to overcome.
Nothing against them, because everybody's different. There are some people that when that happens to them, they never recover.
Oh, of course.
And that's not saying anything against them. It's just everybody's different. Not everybody can recover from things like that.
Of course.
Or whatever it is. So getting off of that, unless you had something else to say.
No.
going back to our, sorry about this. The Blog Talk Radio, I mean, it's great for being able to, you know, have people and we can chat. We'll find out about them and things like that. But they do have terrible sound. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes. And there's layovers, and sometimes I can't tell if somebody's talking, and then I'm interrupting them without knowing that I'm interrupting them. And so I'm not trying to be rude, just so you know that.
Oh, no,
but
it's fine.
Getting back to our mute. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I actually was done. You go ahead.
I was going to say that's not an issue at all. It's not that big of a deal.
Okay. Getting back to our mutual friend, David Clare Bennett, which actually he does wrestling too. He talked about that when he was on my show.
Yes, I listened
he's in the filmmaking business, and he has a movie out that's on Amazon, and it's called Survivor's Choice for anybody listening that might want to watch it. So there's your plug, David. Have you given much thought about being in the movie business, like an actor or being a stuntman or anything like that?
I actually was speaking to David a little bit. When I first met him, I had met him at a handful of shows at Asylum Pro Wrestling in PA. And David was doing a little bit of ring announcing and then also doing backstage interviews. And the chemistry between me and him for the interviews was tremendous. So you could tell he was really on point with what he had going on. I was on point with what I had going on. And in all of the times that I've gotten to speak with David, David is so wholesome. He loves what he does. And you could tell he truly cares about not only pro wrestling, but the movie industry. And I've watched one of his movies. I actually watched Survivor's Choice, and that was one of the ones around the time when I first met him, first coming out at the time. And so he had told me about it, and I was waiting for it to come out, so I decided to support him. And I was really by the way that he carries himself as an actor and as a person in real life as well. You would never think, like, the actor, songwriter, whatever, a very wholesome individual. But not braggadocious way is what I'm trying to say. And he had said to me, oh, it's want to do acting or whatever. And I was like, yeah, you know, I would be willing to give it a shot, but especially now at my own, I don't know if I would have the time. I've been asked to do parts in like small little like indie films through a handful of Long Island filmmakers, but I just don't have the time. Otherwise, I would have. Ever has something, I would love to work with you. Obviously, I know him.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're breaking up a little bit, and I hope that's not my phone, but it may be yours because you're breaking up a little bit. If I'm not breaking up, then it might be your phone. I don't know if it's like too far away or whatever, but maybe it'll clear itself up because.
Okay.
It could also be Blog Talk Radio, so that they're the ones that are messing it up, because that happens a lot too. So I'm sorry about that. And actually, the people listening in may have been able to hear you fine. So sorry about interrupting you. And go ahead and continue what you were talking about. I apologize.
No, no problem. I was going to say that I would be willing to work with David in the future if I'm able to. I would love to work with him because obviously he's someone that I know and would, you know, be able to take direction from him because he's directed films and starred in his own films and starred in other people's films. So that would definitely be something I would love to do. I would love to do, you know, even if it's something small, like a voice acting. I've done some small parts in music videos and whatnot that are going to be airing within probably the next year. You'll see links for that once I post them. Can't really talk about the project that I was involved with directly, but I was involved with, how can I put it? The video is going to be coming out for a friend of mine is a Long Island rapper named Prezi. He actually does my theme music. He wrote a whole song for me and did a whole big thing. So I'll be in his music video. We actually filmed it last summer. And it's getting the final touches put on it through editing, and it'll be released within the next year or so, I believe.
Hmm, cool. I'll be looking for it.
Definitely.
Yeah, and the great thing about the indie film business is obviously the networking, and you could get like just a small part, and sometimes you don't even have to be there. Excuse me. Because like with COVID, when it was almost impossible to make films, if you were going to do it legally because you weren't allowed to be in crowds, a friend of mine who's a filmmaker, and not just him, there were other ones too, but I'm specifically talking about him now, that he decided he was going to incorporate that into the movie about not calling it COVID, but he worked that into it, that there was, you know, something like that. So throughout the whole movie, most of the actors did all of their scenes at home, and then they sent them to him, and then he edited it into the film.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and it turned out good. I mean, so there's always that. That you can do something remotely, even if you don't have time to go there to do it. Because there are lots
of
filmmakers that do that. Yeah, especially in the indie business.
Certain things would have to, like, obviously if I was to travel to do this type of thing, would have to fit around my wrestling schedule as well. I have so much coming up within the next few months, going into the end of 2023, beginning of 2024. That there, you know, there's just so much going on, but I would love to do it. It's something that I've always wanted to do. I feel like I would be able to play it, tap into a different character. It would be awesome to do that. It probably more so a dream come true.
Oh, yeah. I used to do theater. I haven't made any movies, but I've been on TV and I used to do theater, mostly drama, sometimes comedy, but I enjoyed it, but I don't know about being in a film. I don't know about that. I mean, I probably would, but It's not that important to me, put it that way, to do it.
Mm.
I would probably do it if it would, yeah, I would probably do it if it helped somebody out for me to do it. But other than that, nah. One of my filmmaker friends, he recently asked me if I would be willing to do some voiceover work. It won't be for a while, but he was asking me about it. And I said, well, yeah, I said, I don't mind doing that. Whenever you need me, just let me know, because the voiceover thing doesn't bother me, because I've actually done some of that. And I even have like a little thing that I have where there are people that didn't even know that it was me, and they thought that I was using a synthesizer, because I can really, yeah, I can do weird things with my voice to where people think I'm using a synthesizer when I'm not. It's just
That's awesome.
I don't have a voice synthesizer, and that's one of the reasons why he wants to use me. But
that's great. That's a unique talent.
Thank you. Well, one of the reasons why I brought it up is because of what you had just said, that, you'd be interested in doing that. That would be cool. And that's what I thought, too, when he asked me. I was like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind that. To have my name, because I've already had my name on movies, so I don't care about that necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But to have my voice in a movie and then I get the credit for it is like, yeah, that'd be something to, tell people about, like, ooh, listen to this.
Right? Hang your hat on something cool like that, because most people don't get to do stuff like that.
Right. Well, one of my recent guests, probably my last one that I had on, I think, he was able to do that with a mutual friend of ours, a different mutual friend, but he was able to do music for this person's movie. Sang a song. Yeah, and
that's great.
Was so excited. He said he played it over and over again. And I said, there's nothing wrong with that. I said, I would probably do the same thing. Like if I had a part in a movie, even if it was only like 2 minutes long, I'd probably keep playing that 2 minutes over.
That's a cool memory.
That's
definitely. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, that's just natural. One thing I did want to get to, since we're down to like a little bit more than 6 minutes, but I did want to ask you about your signature move, sleeping with the fishes. So tell us about that in like 4 or 5 minutes or whatever.
So the signature move, the sleeping with the fishes, comes from a move called the Kata Hajime that Taz used in ECW, which is basically the form of a sleeper hold to put someone to sleep. And since my character is a mafioso, Tony Soprano type, I figured sleeping with the fishes would be clever since the move puts them to sleep.
Yeah, I think it's clever too.
Thank you.
And so because you're the mafia, I'm trying to say it, but it's not coming out right, a mafia person instead of trying to say mafioso. I just said it. is that where the Bambino came in, or did you already use that before you started being the quote-unquote bad guy?
No, this was always, when I first started my career, I was the Great Bambino, C.J. Antonino. C.J. Antonino is my real name. So I had Bambino tattooed on me, was one of my first tattoos. My best friend Matt's dad, who passed away, used to say that I looked like a younger Babe Ruth, and I'm a Yankee fan, so that's why. So they would always call me Bambino. So I was like, I need to shorten my name. Once I started gaining some steam on the independents, I was like, why don't I just be CJ Bambino? So that's how I became CJ Bambino.
And
they
are right. You do look a little bit like Babe Ruth. Because I'm also a fan. Yeah. Babe Ruth obviously was great.
Yes. One of the best.
Yeah, definitely. So we've got like 4 minutes left, so I'm going to have you tell anybody that's listening and whoever's going to listen to the recorded version how they can get a hold of you. I mean, I know, but how you would want them to get a hold of you, whether it be Facebook or whatever. So I'll let you go ahead and say that.
All right, great. Any of my fans or anyone that wants to get in contact with me can find me on social media. My Facebook for my like page is CJ Bambino Official. If they have Instagram, they could find me at CJ underscore Bambino. And if you want to find most of my wrestling stuff on YouTube, you could just search CJ Bambino. My upcoming events are Saturday, May 13th for Full Faith Wrestling, Reborn 2 on Long Island, New York. Friday, June 16th at Suffolk Wrestling Alliance's Wrestle Hell, also Long Island, New York. And then Saturday, June 17th, New Evolution Wrestling, Best of the Best in New Jersey. The promotions that I wrestle for are the New York Wrestling Connection, Suffolk Wrestling Alliance, Full Faith Wrestling, New Evolution Wrestling, and Asylum Pro Wrestling. If you also want to see other content that involves myself, Rob Franzese, the real-life Peter Griffin, and the Break Room Podcast, you could check out the Break Room Podcast on YouTube, and you could find the Break Room Podcast on Instagram, the Break Room Live, and then also the real life Peter Griffin, Rob Franzese. His Instagram is Rob Franzese, spelled RobFranzese. And that's everything.
That's a lot, but that's great. I love when people share all that stuff, especially upcoming things that you have going on. So we're about 2 minutes, down to about 2 minutes, and usually at this time is when I ask the people what I just asked you a couple minutes ago. So one thing that I can tell people is if you are interested in booking him, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's bookingbambino@yahoo.com.
Yes, that is my booking email. Or they can message the CJ Bambino Official Facebook directly, and I will answer.
Okay, cool. And then very quickly, because we've only got like 90 seconds, there's also a website you guys can check out. It's team, herolt.com/category/CJ-Bambino. And that has all kinds of things listed about coming up. And there's even a part that gives you a little bit of a biography and everything. So check that all out, people. And I want to thank you, CJ, for being on the show. It was a pleasure. I really enjoyed having you.
Thank you so much for having me, Mac. It's been a pleasure to have any and all interaction with you. And if you ever want to do a part two, I would love to do so. So definitely let me know.
Okay, sure, because I've had a few people that come on more than one show. So, yeah, I'd definitely be interested. Okay, and I'm going to, like, close it out simply because Blog Talk Radio will cut you off in the middle of a sentence if you go over the time, so we don't want to do that. So, again, thank you very much, and have a nice night.
You too. Take care. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Bye.